I think I've said before, you know, the readings of the Old Testament are to help us learn how to be human. If you just listen to that prayer of David, the gratitude, the love, that's prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Now, the gospel is talking about the light of Christ. And it might be worth reflecting a few minutes on how this gospel, of course, the Dominicans will have their own readings, and he's their hero. But in the church at large, we have the regular readings from the day. But this one is quite apt anyway. See, is a lamb to be brought in and placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand? God endowed this man, Thomas, with an extraordinary mind and placed him in the perfect place for forming him. He was a Benedictine. He was living in a Benedictine house, anyway, at their school. They would be the best transmitters of the Catholic tradition possible. So he learned to sing the office. He learned to read the Fathers and the Scriptures. But the Lord knew that the church would be facing a whole new mindset. In fact, that mindset has finally taken over most of the world. It's called secularism or atheism. Our minds are very weak, you see. It was all right when most of the physical world was mysterious. God must be running that, you see. Then, as Herbert Butterfield, the great historian of science, points out, the scientific revolution is the most profound, more than the Reformation, more than the... to determine the direction of Western thought, and therefore of thought in general. Though the Russians managed, because they were cut off before the communist era, they were cut off from the mainstream of Western thought. When it became possible to, at least in theory, explain all the phenomena of the physical world and to dominate this world, then we have this explosion. Electric lights, cars, jet planes, TVs, computers, they all flow from this understanding of the mathematical laws that govern the physical universe. Somebody had to be raised up whose attitude toward the world was such that he also knew how to look at this world and understand it. And so Aquinas, who was basically an Augustinian, a Platonist, if you will, learned from Aristotle, who was just being discovered at that time, and understood that there was no conflict. Many were deeply opposed to Aristotle, because it was helping us rejoice in understanding reality as it is. And so he studied Aristotle, mostly under his master, also a saint, Albert the Great. I'm sure you've heard the story. You know, Albert was lecturing, and Tom would be sitting there, not saying much. Must have been a big fellow, physically. He was not fat. I mean, he walked from Paris to Naples and Naples to Paris about four times in his life. I mean, you can't gain a lot of weight doing that, you know. But he was a big man. And they used to, he was quiet. He was listening, he was quiet. He didn't get involved in a lot of the palaver that students get involved in. And so they used to call him the Dhammaks. These other students, the Dhammaks from Sicily. And one day, I guess Albert had had it enough. He'd heard this remark enough. He finally said, "I tell you, this Dhammaks will roar one day, and the whole world will hear him." Because working with him, he saw the quality of his mind and the purity of his heart and of his life. You don't get insight just with brains. You get capacity to be smart, fiddle around with things, but insight needs purity of heart. And so he inherited this whole tradition and knew it well. And finally arrived at the mature place of his career. The goal of any career was to be a magister sacrae pagine. His job was to expound the sacred page. That's what he did. He never taught the Summa, the famous Summa Theologiae. He never taught it. He wrote it out to get some order in the abundant confusion of the way theology was being taught. It wasn't taught in his lifetime. In fact, it kind of got buried until the 16th century and was revived. Unfortunately, though, in the age of rationalism, that's where we get all things you don't have to know, Neo-Thomism and Neo-Scripture. But this was a patristic man whose job was to expound Scripture. And everything else he did was in the service of the Word of God, which he knew very well. He had a fantastic memory. And expounded well. I can remember when I was a student, Pius XII was the Pope, and every beginning of every school year he would convoke all the students in Rome and urge them to live a life of virtue, of holiness, and study hard. And every year he would urge us to read the commentaries of Aquinas on Scripture. Now, it's indicative of where we have been that only now are they being translated. Can you imagine? Only now. So what do I want to say about him, you see? The first thing you want to say about Thomas Aquinas is that he loved Jesus Christ and wanted to serve him with every fiber of his being. And for him, that was teaching and preaching. And that was what made him who he is. Because of that purity of heart, the Holy Spirit could enlighten him, and did, with the massive knowledge. But you see, a providentially ordered formation from childhood in the Benedictine monastery, learning, living, experiencing the whole tradition of the Church, singing the Psalms, listening every day to the readings from the Fathers of the Church, and so forth. And then being exposed at the university through Albert the Great to the thought of Aristotle, and then beginning to put it all together. But his greatest delight was to be in communion with Jesus. That's where all his inspiration and energy. I mean, he had four secretaries going at the same time. He would dictate and then go on to the because they didn't have computers and tape recorders and things, and then the first one would be ready again and he'd go through again, never missed a beat. And knew the tradition. He's called the angelic doctor because of the incredible chastity and purity of heart, but also because his mind was powerful like that of an angel. Von Balthasar has a wonderful remark somewhere. This question of grace and free will, which is a really tough one. Von Balthasar said one day, you know, it might just be that the human mind can't get it. Just the mind. Angelic minds probably understand this issue, but we can't. We haven't solved it expressed it correctly yet. It might be just the angels can understand it, and we won't till we die, you know, which is a rather humble thing for another genius to say. But see, they called him angelic because he had the qualities of an angelic mind. But he was a friar, one of the guys. I mean, everybody knew, you know, Tommaso was pretty smart, and he goes and kings consult him, but he was Tommaso. In fact, they tell the story. The cook said to the prior in Napoli, I've got to get cabbages for lunch. And the prior, being smart, said, well, take somebody with you. And so, that's all he said. He goes up and knocks on Thomas's door. Says, the prior said you're supposed to come with me to get the cabbages. Well, that's an indication of God's will. He's the prior. So he dropped everything, walked downtown, bought the cabbages, carried a basket up and back, put them in the kitchen, and went back upstairs and went back to work. Without thinking twice about it. I'm a religious. The prior told me to do this. Now, he's not stupid. He probably figured out the prior never said that at all. This is Fra Umberto trying to figure out whether I'm really one of the guys or whether I think I'm so big shot I shouldn't have to go out and buy cabbage. And no, I'll help Umberto. I'll be glad to help Umberto. So he went out and did that. He was on his way to a famous council, the Lateran Council, held at the Lateran in Rome. And he was walking from Naples up to Rome, and he reached the first night. I guess he got a late start. He only got as far as Fossa Nuova. Fossa Nuova was a Cistercian monastery. So, he would, in those days, you didn't need to have a motel lined up. You just stayed. So he just went there. And the brethren said, well, give us a talk tonight, will you? He said, yeah, sure. What would you like? They said, the Song of Songs. They knew who they were dealing with. Remember, these are Cistercians. The most famous commentator on the Song of Songs is St. Bernard. And he is a Cistercian. So, they're asking Tommaso for it, and he's glad to do it. And he gave the talk, and he went to bed and got very sick quickly, asked for a confessor, made his last general confession, and died. And the confessor said after he died, that confession was of a 5-year-old child. So that's some of the aspects of Tommaso besides his brains, you know. And you can, if you listened when we were reading, you heard about his mother did this, his mother did that, his mother was, she was a pushy kind of barracuda. And it took him, you know, a lot to get out from under that. And the best way to do it was to go join the hippies. Because the Dominicani were not the Dominicans. They were a bunch of street preachers. You know, and one of the Franciscans and the Dominicans, they were both, I mean, they were not following the normal norms for monastic life. They were out preaching in the streets, they were, you know, they were getting involved in these new universities, and he wanted to join the hippies. Now, the family was very rich, but they were, as it said in that thing, let him get there, you know, if he wants to be pious, we'll put him there and let him get trained. And then when he's old enough, I'll buy the abbacy and give it to him. Molto possibile. And he wanted none of it. Anyway, we can pray to him for two things mostly. Purity of heart and humility. And if we do, then we will receive enlightenment.